Hey, I'm Ron. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I'm glad you're part of the team. Are you experiencing health at its fullest potential? Are you informed about the latest exercise and nutritional trends? I'm here to help coach you in making better choices. I am passionate about health and wellness, sports and competition, marriage and raising children. If any of these topics are appealing to you, you're in the right place. If you want to check out more content, you can always visit me at theronyoungshow.com. Or you can always email me, theronyoungshow@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you for joining The Ron Young Show. It's a pleasure to have you along wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple Music, Stitcher, Pocket Casts. I'm happy you've tuned in, and I hope that today's show brings you some value, especially with the topic that I have for today. And the topic for today is actually one that you may want to pay close attention to because it's something that affects all of us on a day-to-day basis. It's something that is within our homes, within our workplaces, within our pockets, and it's something that we surely cannot get away from in this day and age of society. It's screen time. Screen time is huge right now. It's everywhere you go. People use it for advertisements. People use it for work on a computer. People use it to respond to text messages on their phone. Screen time. It's something where you can be watching TV, football, basketball, hockey, sports, right? Your favorite show, your favorite Netflix binge-watching series. It's all on screen time, and it's all screen time that adds up and has a health effect on us that we may or may not be aware of. I mean, sure, everybody says, yeah, too much screen time is bad for you, but do we really know why? Do we really get to the core root of that discussion and say, okay, to what extent is it affecting us? Because let's face it, growing up, I watched a lot of TV. I played a lot of video games. spent a lot of time on screens. Now, albeit I didn't have powerful tiny computers in my pockets or iPads or mobile gaming and stuff like that. No. If I had to get a new ringtone on my cell phone back when I was an early teen, I had to actually go on the internet and then pay through my pay-as-you-go card. I couldn't just click the Google Play or the Apple ad for funds. No. I had to do all that extra stuff, and it's because it was so inconvenient then. But now, everything is within a touch for us. Everything is convenient, on demand. If we want certain episodes or certain games or whatever, we can click and we can get those. I mean, even I had a conversation with my brother the past few days, and he emphasized, yeah, like, why watch a full episode of anything? Now you can just go on YouTube and see the episode recaps, or you can just watch the funniest parts of certain sitcoms that you may enjoy watching. So it's screen time is everywhere we go, and we can't avoid it. I mean, it's something that is driving the world nowadays through social media, through TV advertising, right? Through FaceTime. It's how we connect with our grandparents now because they're finally getting onto these devices. It's crazy. If you think over the past 10 years, iPads, gaming systems, heck, if you even look at the Nintendo, the Wii U, as well as the Nintendo Switch, take your gaming with you, FaceTime, all these things are relatively new. And that's why we don't have a long enough study of information to properly analyze them. I mean, when you looked at university, we had Facebook, but it was merely just to connect from residence to residence and to perhaps discuss projects. It wasn't a full life gallery or social updates of your status. It was just like you kind of connected on it. And it was something that was really basic and cool. Now it's a platform for sharing, for going on and grabbing content, for, you know, looking at who you haven't caught up with in a long time. What are they doing? You know, different things like that. Social media takes the shape of many forms. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, these are huge things. And it's like a photo library of our lives that we just throw up on the internet to display and get likes and comments on. I mean, it's something very cool because, yes, technology is driving the world now. But it's something where if I said, hey, would you share that whole photo album online to somebody 10 years ago, they might think that I'm crazy. Is it crazy? It may very well be. But no matter what I think, no matter what you think, here's one thing that I think we can come to a consensus on. I think that we can come to a consensus on the fact that we have far too much screen time within our daily lives. And the thing is, we need to make sure that we're setting appropriate boundaries on our screen time. One of the things I'm very passionate about is children and screen time. And making sure that we're aware of the dangers of screen time to not only ourselves, but how that's impacting young children. I mean, you're your kid's role model. They watch you. They watch every step you take, every move you make. Now, before this becomes a Biggie song, let's scale it back a little bit. They see you pulling up your phone, responding to that notification, taking that email. They see you on Netflix, casting that show to the TV. They see you going on your favorite gaming app and playing relentlessly. We need to be good role models for our children. And no matter what you're doing right now, please keep this in mind. The entire time you're in that house, the entire time you're taking out your phone and using it to access apps and other things, other forms of communication, perhaps are we ignoring our children, or our children are taking mental notes of our technological use. There's no denying it. They see it, they know how to work these devices, and they know what you're looking at. So we do need to be very careful. TV, iPads, different things like that, they are very useful entertainment tools. Let's not get it wrong. Sometimes it's great to be able to tune into a show, or if history is being made on the sports field in Toronto, like it was this past year, Raptors winning the championship. But guess what? Kawhi's on a plane to Los Angeles. Anyways, Toronto looked at that. Canada looked at that as a national win, as a national championship, and it really was. It was exciting to watch, and those are the things that really, you know, are awesome for entertainment value. When you watch big events like that, when you watch, you know, season finales and different things where it's adding up. I mean, TV, phones, iPads, computers, very powerful pieces of technology. But a lot of people don't understand how it truly impacts us. I mean, think about it to yourself right now. If I said screen time is bad for you, of course, pretty much all of you would probably agree. But could you tell me why it's bad? If I said too much TV time is bad, well, why is it bad? Can you think about that? Can you give me a good answer? Just take a moment. Think about it. Because I got a few here that I'm going to unload on you. And it's going to make you think about things a little bit differently. And I hope, which is the purpose of the whole podcast, is that you take a step back from your life, look at things objectively and say, is this something that I need in my life? Or is there something I can maybe do different? Because I want you asking the question, why? Why do I do it this way? Why do I do it that way? Why am I watching this? Why am I doing that? So think about it in terms of this, okay? If we look at it from simply a physiological standpoint and the science behind it, when the heart pumps more slowly and you're sedentary, sitting on the couch, watching a movie or playing on your iPad, less blood is delivered to the body. So things slow down. And substances such as fat and cholesterol can build up plaque within the arteries. And that makes the individual susceptible to heart attacks and strokes and other dangerous things like that. When this occurs in young children, whose bodies are still growing, it can be really dangerous because you're really laying the foundation now. You're saying, cardiovascular system, hey, get used to this because this is what's going to be happening over the next little while. But we want to make sure we stay away from those habits. But looking at it from strictly a vascular standpoint, sitting, watching TV, being on your phone, it's not great, is it? You know, I would argue, no, it's terrible for you. But we do it anyway. And it's one of the things that we need to make sure we're limiting on a daily basis. Let's look at some of the health risks of the impressions that advertisement can leave on youth and even adults. I mean, sometimes you can have a face-to-face conversation with somebody about a certain product. Okay, let me put it out there. I'm going to put it out there. My wife got me underwear for Christmas. Yes, my wife got me underwear. And they are Saks. They're great underwear. They feel comfortable. They're awesome. Never heard of them before. But she got them for me for Christmas. And let me say, it was money well spent. But my wife, after having a conversation with one of her friends and simply looking this up, she was getting blasted with men's underwear advertisements for the next few weeks. I mean, it's crazy how they can pick up on these things and they can take advantage of your social media streams, your, you know, computer IP address and which area you're located. I mean, technology has us so connected. They know so much about us before we even make the purchase. If you look at the impressions it leaves on our young children, they're watching TV. Of course, a Monster Energy commercial comes up, and all of a sudden they get a little bit thirsty. Or throw that over to the adults. And now I'm watching an NFL game, and man, that Bud Light looks so good pouring in slow motion into that glass full of ice. Doesn't that make you want one? Doesn't it make you want to try one? And it's so deceiving because it leaves such an impression on individuals. People who like candy, people who like fast foods, people who like alcohol. It leads to the development of dangerous habits down the road. But we're exposed to it, and our children are exposed to it. Parents of young people, if your child has a phone, a tablet, or something like that, please be advised they could be exposed to any of this stuff at any given time. Because quite often, when they don't have a credit card, the way to advance in a game or an app is to watch a video. And what's the reward of watching the video? Really nothing on your standpoint, from your standpoint, but it's the fact that they've now been exposed to somebody who manufactures candy, somebody who manufactures a game, something like that. So it can be very dangerous. Please watch what happens on your devices. Let's look at some more physiological impacts. Statistically, when you're watching screens, TVs, phones, your eyes become very tired and dry because you actually blink less. That is a physiological response. You are drawn to something. Something's captivated you. Something makes you not want to close your eyes because you're afraid of missing it. And we tell our body through feedback, we don't want to miss that. So hey, let's not blink. Let's keep our eyes open for a little while longer because something's going to happen. That's always so gripping, right? I mean, like the NHL, they have such fast, high-paced games. You don't want to miss a second because if you turn away or close your eyes, you're going to miss a game-winning goal or you're going to miss a check in the corner that's sent both teams into a frenzy. It's crazy. The other thing that I want to bring to your attention, and this is something that's very important because this could be throwing you off from a health standpoint without you even knowing it. Our bodies have an internal clock. And I'm going to throw a big word out there. I don't care if you like it or not. It's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. And this is the workstation within the brain that tells you when it's time to sleep and when it's time to wake. And it's based on whether you're seeing light or darkness. So here we are. It's 10 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden you want to finish watching the big game. Baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever. And your body's saying, what's happening here, Ron? Well, it won't say Ron, but whoever you are, what's going on? Your body's saying, hello, what's happening here? Because I've seen it's dark outside. I know it's dark outside because you just came in from doing yard work. You need to be winding down. Your body needs to be shutting down, and you need to be getting some sleep and rest for your body. But what is this light that you're seeing? Why are you seeing it? Because you've tuned into something. You've tuned into Facebook, social media. You've tuned into the big game. You've tuned into your favorite sitcom. And now all of a sudden your body is confused. It's saying, what is happening here? Am I supposed to go to sleep or do you want me to stay up for this? And in a lot of cases, especially now that content is an on-demand thing, you can binge watch Netflix or Amazon series. You can get to the proper scrolling within the episode. And you're almost tricked into thinking that it's still light out because of the light that's absorbed by your eyes through screens. This is particularly problematic for adults in phones and tablet use. And there's a lot of different tips that you can take from this. And it's something that you can do to combat it and help yourself get to sleep. How about plugging your phone into another room? I mean, I know we all love having it on our bedside table, but if you're going to keep checking it and checking it and checking it, that delays your sleep. Or perhaps maybe you activate the setting on the phone that reduces the blue light from screens that it emits. There's lots of different things that you can do, and certainly making sure that you're taking the time to get adequate sleep is very important for your health. Let's go to a study here because this is one thing that I want to make sure that we are aware of. And there was actually a study that was cited 300 times. They looked at 67 studies from 99 to 2014, and they found that screen time is adversely associated with sleep outcomes, primarily shortened duration, so less sleep, less time sleeping, and delayed timing of sleep. So maybe you're not getting to sleep quickly enough to hit all the cycles of sleep. And that was happening in 90% of the studies. Can you believe that? 90% of the 67 studies, that's a lot of studies, and that's a great long sample size that they're looking at. Some of the results may have varied, but overall what they found was that you need to reduce your screen time exposure, especially before or during bedtime hours, to minimize the harmful effects. We need to make sure that we're taking the proper measures and putting it in place so that we are not having adverse effects here. I mean, if you think of how far technology has come in the past few years, the research that I've drawn upon within this podcast is stuff that is dated late 90s to, you know, around the 2010. The study I just cited was 2014. But this is all kind of just revolving around TV because that was the powerhouse in screen time. It was TV. I mean, if you think about it, in university, I did HTC Touch. And as much as it was screen time, it wasn't the same screen time that it is now in the ever-evolved cell phone era. I mean, now we have cell phones that have amazing screens. You know, LED screens. Screens that have 1080 or more HD capabilities. It's crazy to think of how far technology has come. And you have a powerful, tiny computer in your pocket. Isn't that nuts? But what we need to do is we need to limit our phone time. We need to establish boundaries. And if you haven't let your children see what a healthy relationship with the screen looks like, then my goodness, when it comes time to giving them a phone, they're going to be all over it in the same way that you interact with it. And that can be scary for a lot of people. A lot of people live on their phones. But what I want you to do is think about these different strategies that you can apply so that you can help avoid screen time for your children. One of the biggest things that I can recommend is simply limiting the use of it. And there's strategies that you can take in order to make sure that you are cutting down on your personal use of phones, tablets, TV. First is recognizing what it can be doing for you and what it can be doing against you, right? One study that I looked at actually was cited over 300 times. It identified 144 studies, and 47 actually met their inclusion criteria. So it means that they actually dismissed almost 100 studies because they didn't meet the inclusion criteria. But 29 of those achieved significant reductions in TV viewing or screen media use. And all of it was because it was based and contingent on a feedback system. There was warnings that would come up. There was notes that would come up saying, hey, have you exercised today? Or do you think you've got too much TV time here? Kind of similar to Netflix saying, hey, are you still there? Wake up, wake up. I want you to watch more content. Are you still there? Hey, wake up. It's kind of funny because it's almost like when Netflix says, are you still there? It's like you almost should be at a point where you're like, nah, I've checked out now because it's gone too long with screen time the other way. So there are definitely things that we need to make sure that we're watching here, because a lot of people, right? A lot of young children are tuning in and spending so much time on their screens that spending attention to these issues can simply help the effectiveness of combating it. So maybe you need to get one of those devices in your home that limits your child use, or maybe you're a big child like me and hey, you need to limit your use as well. Well, there are devices that can lock you out of having internet use. And overall, what kind of message are you sending for your family? It can certainly affect your relationships. What if I spent all of my evening on the phone and didn't really interact with my wife at all? I mean, you know, there's times when she's on her phone, I'm on my phone, and we don't really talk very much at all. But then there's those times when we deeply connect. And it's times when we're not worried about our phone, or not worried about what the world is thinking about us, or not worried about what we're missing in the world. And that's what's happening within our society nowadays. We're so tuned in. And there's been such a strong link between social media and depression, and I can get to that in another podcast. But those connections are so evident. We're in a world of comparison, and we need to get away from that. We need to start living our own lives. We need to put the phone down, turn the TV off, and have real, genuine conversation. One of the things my wife and I do is, after I'm done work, typically I'll put the phone down for a couple of hours. I usually roll in around 5:30, and then the kids are in bed around 7:30, 8 o'clock. So from that time, what we started to do was have a little dock in the kitchen where we don't access our phones. We set our phones down so we know they're there, but we can be present with our kids. We can have dinner around a table and not worry about that buzz in your pocket or that phone going off, because this is our time to be present and be with each other. And it's so crucial to have those moments, because if all you're doing is on your phone, what kind of messages are you sending your children? You know, it's tough to establish those boundaries when you yourself are not practicing them on a regular basis. Another way that you can be proactive is to give kids a list of things or chores or stuff they need to accomplish before they're given their screen time. So perhaps, you know, they need to have 1 hour of outdoor play. They get creative, they play, they run around, they get tired. Maybe it's a half hour reading. They need to fulfill certain criteria before you turn the television on, or before you give them a video game or computer time. These are ways that you can be creative and that you can really have an impact on the youth of today. Well, still not, you know, just turning it off for the sake of turning it off. I mean, our young kids need to understand why it's turning off, why it's bad for them. Explain these health risks that I've explained at the beginning of the episode and try and get a better understanding of it. Because if we look at it, there's so many different studies, and this one was actually cited many, many, many times, but it had the Australian recommendations for physical activity, the National Association for Sport and Physical Activity, and the American Academy of Pediatric Screen-Based Entertainment Recommendations. And in a large sample size of preschool children, what they found was children spent 16% of their time being physically active. 16% of their time being physically active. That doesn't seem like a lot when you say that they're up from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. 16% of their time, that's crazy. We need to make sure they're physically getting time being active. And a lot of people are anchored to a screen. That doesn't help the situation. Boys and younger children were actually more active than girls and older children, respectively. And children spent, on average, 113 minutes in screen-based entertainment. That's a lot. It's, what, 2 hours? Virtually no children, so under 1%, met the Australian recommendations for physical activity. So they're falling short in those situations. And the conclusion of the studies was that the majority of young children were not participating in adequate amounts of physical activity and excessive amounts of screen-based entertainment. It's likely that physical activity may decline and screen-based entertainment may increase with age. So they are carrying on these habits as they go. Let's look at who. Talking about the World Health Organization. Who? That's who. In a new set of guidelines, actually earlier this year, I think it was about in April 2019, the World Health Organization said infants under the age of 1 year old should not be exposed to electronic screens. Children between the ages of 2 and 4 should not have more than 1 hour of sedentary screen time each day. What they recommend is that it be a connection on the screen. So screen time or something like that for 2 to 4 year olds. Have them learning educational stuff or have them interacting with a grandparent from afar. Limiting and in some cases eliminating screen time for children under the age of 5 will result in healthier adults overall. And that's what they were saying. Taking away iPads and tablets, phones, video games may only be part of the solution, because if you take away something, they're going to replace it with something else. So unless that's guided, unless that's intentional, unless they're following through with something, they're just going to trade one screen for another here. And what they also said, the WHO, the World Health Organization, children under the age of 5 should also get more exercise and sleep in order to develop better habits that will stave off obesity and disease in adolescence and adulthood. So these are things that we need to make sure we're conscious of, because we have seen a rise in childhood obesity. We have seen a rise in diabetes over the last few years, and it's primarily because we're not eating properly and we're not active enough within our society. A lot of this research, remember, I said this at the beginning of the show, a lot of this research was captured in a time frame where TV was a prominent force. So just imagine in a few years, I can guarantee you I'm still going to be talking about it on this podcast, in a few years they're going to be focusing on specifically cell phone use, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, social media blasts. And now we wonder how much time we're spending on those. Parents of children, evaluate it. Think to yourself right now, how much time have I spent on Instagram today? How much time have I spent on Facebook today? Now, look at what kind of impact that may be having on your children. Not to scare you or anything. It's the way that we're going. Certainly, Terminator, the movie series, might have been right. They just might have been off a little bit on their predictions of the year, because technology has been growing and really is taking over many facets of our life. A couple of the tips I want to give you in order to combat screen time, because this is very important for me. I want you to watch with a friend. Watch with the spouse, watch with the child. Make sure you're in on the content that they're watching, so you're aware of what they're consuming in their brain. Make sure it's appropriate. Make sure it's age appropriate. Make sure it's something that you can be there to explain to them. And also, watching with a friend or a spouse, you know, my wife, sometimes she, you know, conks out to sleep a little bit earlier than I do. So then that's a cue for me, hey, if she's tired, maybe we should just call it a night. You know, that's one good thing about doing that. Another thing is I want you to get up and stretch and be active during commercial breaks. If it's a long show, please get up, walk around, you know, do some push-ups, do some squats, make it fun, make it engaging for yourself so that you can not feel like you've just sat around for a few hours. It's very important. Break it up. Incorporate exercise in what you do. Perhaps you're like my friend Craig. During the Denver Bronco games, he paces. He may not know it, but that nervous reaction is actually going to be helping him from a health standpoint down the road. Not a lot of people do that. The other thing is also setting limits. I mean, we want to make sure we are our kids' role models. We do exemplify, you know, what they're probably going to do in the future. So we need to make sure that we're setting limits on ourselves, on others. I alluded to it a little earlier in the episode where I talked about us putting our phones down for a couple of hours and making sure that we're present. But there are other things to do. Prioritizing that unplugged playtime is great. Creating tech-free zones within your home. Perhaps your playroom is something that you're not allowed to bring a phone into, or a tablet, or a TV. The other thing you want to do is kind of set up daily and weekly screen time limits. I can give you a personal example right here. My kids watch cartoons in the morning when they wake up, probably a half hour, 45 minutes of cartoons. As soon as it hits 8 o'clock, it's go time. We have breakfast, we get them dressed, we get them ready for their day, and they do not see another television until after supper if we allow them to. That way, they're present, they're being creative, they're active, they're finding other ways to have fun, things that we need to get back to our roots to. And then after dinner time, yeah, maybe Natalie and I'll clean up the dishes and stuff and we'll throw on a 15-minute show for them. But we stay within those guidelines of an hour or less for their age category. The other thing that we do is we set limits on tablet time. Yes, the twins have a tablet. It's just full of games. We try and make them educational. We try and make them fun. But they know they can only access the tablet once a week on Saturdays, and it's usually for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And that's their screen time for the day. They don't get to watch any TV. They get their tablet time. The other thing I want to caution you parents on is keeping screens out of your child's bedrooms. I mean, sometimes you don't know what you're kids are doing or what they're watching, but they'll go and turn on the television. I was guilty of this when I was young. Heck, my brother would turn on scary movies and such when we were sharing a bedroom. And also, when he got a Sega Genesis, I was so jealous because I had a Game Boy. You can't see black and white in the dark. It's unreal. I would always be watching my brother play Sonic. It was crazy. Eliminating background TV, different things like that, where, yeah, you know, I'm guilty for that. I'll oftentimes put the golf on, and you know that that's an all-day event. But I just want to kind of keep track of the score without having to pull up the leaderboard every now and then. So the other thing that we want to do, and the last point that I'm going to make, is also the quality of the screen time. If you feel like the screen is something that you want to incorporate in your household, it's very ingrained, your kids want it, need it, I get it. It can be a good out, right? It can be like, I'm making dinner, okay, go watch TV. What you want to do is make sure the quality of the content is where it needs to be. Having stuff that is interactive for your children rather than just pushing, swiping, staring at a screen, or taking in entertainment. Stuff that challenges them. Certain shows nowadays will ask them questions or ask them different math equations. I remember watching Blaze and the Monster Machines, and they actually asked like what angles would get them to where they needed to go. And also, Dora is actually pretty good at that too. The other thing that you want to do is make sure that they are getting a good mixture of music and art within these shows, because those can be stimulants to those brain centers of creativity. You know, making sure if they're watching an art program, maybe they want to do a project now. So they're getting motivated by it. We don't want the TV, we don't want the computer, we don't want tablets and phones to just be a source of intake. We want to get something from it, get motivated by it, and then go and action it. It's something that we just take for granted, or we just let fall by the wayside because it's the easy solution. Sit them in front of a TV. So what I'm going to propose to you as I close this show is evaluate the screen time that you have in your life right now as an adult and for your children, and determine, is that really what they need? Is there too much of it? Too little of it? Can that be a thing? I don't think so. Or is it kind of right for your situation? And do your children know why they're watching what they're watching? Do they have a say in it? Do you have a say in it? Can you monitor it properly? These are all things that we need to make sure that we're conscious of going forward. Because let's face it, screen time is not going to get any better as we continue to evolve and go through society on a day-to-day basis. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ron Young. I really appreciate you joining me on the podcast. If you had a question about screen time today that's come up and you want to email me, it's theronyoungshow@gmail.com. Of course, I want to thank my sponsors, Curtis Godden. You can go to his website, search him. It's Curtis Godden. He's an excellent artist, designer. If you have web pages, different campaigns you want designed, he is the man. Overall, please evaluate what you're doing, where you're at with your life, and what you do with your screen time. I'd love to hear about it. Shoot me a message on social media. I wrote a post hyping this episode. It's launching. And if you're listening to it, give me some feedback on that page. I'd love to hear from you. That's all the time I have for today. Thank you for joining me. And we'll look forward to another episode of The Ron Young Show coming up next week. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Of course, if you want more exciting content, you can always go on the social media platforms. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please visit me, The Ron Young Show. Search it, I'll come up, and you can check out more content.